right now, Ken Timmerman, talking about geopolitical activities. And Ken, I just want to go over with you this deal. When we last talked, it wasn't really finalized, and I'm not sure if it's finalized today. Some of the reports are that they tried to rush something through so they could have their photo op and get out of that part of the world, out of Geneva. I think there's a three parts to it, to what the Iranians said they're going to do, and I don't know how much that really is, what the Western world was going to do and release the sanction. I think that's a terrible step forward. How are you going to get to a final deal? And then the next 6 months and what will happen during that time. What are your observations? You are very astute in this area. What are your observations?
Well, the first thing is that I look at what the Iranians themselves are saying. And as far as the Iranians are concerned, they haven't really given anything up. They've not given up their right, their so-called right to enrich uranium. They have not stopped building the plutonium production plant at Arak. They haven't even really stopped producing or installing new centrifuges. And that's pretty astonishing, because those are the three things that the West insisted upon. And those were the three things that held up the deal the first time around, 10 days ago or so, when French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius said he wouldn't sign it, 2 weeks ago, when he said he wouldn't sign it because the Iranians wouldn't agree to that. So here we've got a so-called deal, and the West is saying one thing, and the Iranians are saying just about exactly the opposite. So I would say this augurs very, very badly for the implementation.
Implementation has to come about at the end of the 6 months of continued negotiations to come to a final deal. And Israel is campaigning, lobbying as much as possible world leaders to say the final deal has to say they do away with their program of developing a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. But when you pull off the sanctions, that was the only pressure that got them to the table in the first place. You release those sanctions and people go rush in there. I understand all types of economic deals are being made between the Iranians and other states of the world. Doesn't look like they're going to backtrack on that. I don't see how you're going to turn it around.
Well, how about the United States? It was announced just this week that they are now going to set up a U.S.-Iranian Chamber of Commerce. Wow. To help U.S. companies invest in Iran, meaning that the sanctions have essentially been lifted in their totality, even though, according to the White House, it's only the first $7 billion of sanctions relief. If they're going to allow U.S. companies to go in and invest in Iran, it means there are no sanctions left. This is a disastrous deal. And I must say, you know, some of the comments out of the White House are excuse me, but pathetic. You've got this spokesman, Jen Psaki, saying it's unclear what their intentions are. And then here's this great quote. It says, while building the plant at Arak is permitted, producing warheads is not. Good grief. You know, is that the level, is that the red line now, that Iran produces nuclear warheads? That's the only thing that's going to be allowed?
Well, I tell you what, the Israelis said that President Obama was hoodwinked by the Iranians. I think Obama is hoodwinking all the people of the United States as well. What about the fact there's a report coming out of Israel, an independent group have said that Iran could actually produce a nuclear weapon within 36 days. In other words, what they have produced us this far, enriching that uranium, it could be within 36 days to military level, the weapons level, so that they could have a nuclear weapon of mass destruction about 36 days.
Now, Jimmy, you're just putting a terrible spin on this, because according to the White House, they have slowed the program by half. It used to be 2 weeks, so now it's 36 days. So they've gained an extra, you know, they've slowed the program by maybe 2 weeks, but that's, you know, half again as much. Look, this truly is pathetic. The Iranians maintain that enrichment capability. They're going to maintain their stockpiles, some of their stockpiles of 20% uranium, and they're going to be allowed to continue to enrich essentially as much as they want, up to 5%, and you still have the unknown, the known unknown, which is the secret enrichment plant. Everybody believes, the IAEA believes it, even the White House acknowledges it, that the Iranians have got secret plants that they've not declared to the International Atomic Energy Agency where they are capable of enriching uranium without anybody verifying what they're doing. So they could take some of that low-enriched uranium and take it into the secret plant, and it would never be any wiser.
Meanwhile, in the Middle East, Bashar Assad, who is the president of Syria, a war going on for over 2 years, a civil war there, sends a message to President Rouhani, supposedly the moderate in Iran. He said Iran's nuclear deal has boosted Tehran's position in the entire Middle Eastern region and, in fact, the world. Boy, that's not good.
No, and, you know, we should not be surprised. And one of the significant thing, I think, in that statement is that he said the Iranian deal essentially shows that developing countries, it cements the quote-unquote right of developing countries to develop, pursue peaceful nuclear technology. So they are clearly, Syria's taking this to the bank. The Iranians are taking this to the bank. They believe that they have won an out from their obligations under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which essentially prohibited them from doing any nuclear development at all because they were in violation of the treaty.
In previous conversations, Ken, we talked about how the Israelis and the Saudis may be working together so that Israel could do a preemptive strike on the nuclear program there in Iran. But now the Saudis say that they have been lied to by the United States. Thus, they are pursuing an independent policy. They're going to take it on their own and maybe get those nuclear weapons from Pakistan.
Entirely possible, and is something that analysts have been talking about for some time. The Saudis have spoken about this at a very high level. The former intelligence minister, Prince Turki, has mentioned this quite openly. This past week, Nawaf Obaid, who's a senior Saudi advisor to the king, told a think tank that in London that they had been lied to by the U.S. president. And because of that, they were going to do whatever they felt they needed to do for their own security without consulting the United States. So anyone who thinks that the Saudis are going to sort of stay in the hip pocket of the president of the United States had better think again. They've got other options. As we mentioned last week, they are talking to the Israelis or appear to be talking to the Israelis. And clearly, they have an extensive defense cooperation ongoing with Pakistan. They've been funding the Pakistani military for decades. They funded the Pakistani nuclear weapons program, and they believe that essentially they own a good portion of those nuclear weapons should they need them.
Ken, we've got about 30 seconds. I have to ask you this. What's going on out there in the Far East? U.S. B-52 bombers challenging what has been said that by the Chinese, that this is an air zone, nobody can fly in, this is our air zone, over debated islands out there with Japan. What's happening?
Well, this is can we walk and chew gum at the same time? This is a second budding crisis. You've also have the North Koreans who have just restarted their nuclear reactor this week, and the Chinese are working very, very closely with the North Koreans. Can the United States pay attention to what's going on with Iran, pay attention to the war in Syria, pay attention to the ongoing strife in Libya, and watch what the Chinese are doing as they attempt to expand their sphere of influence throughout the Pacific? That, I think, is the real strategic question now.
Yes, it is a very important question, and we'll stay on top of this story with Ken Timmerman. He's the man who looks at geopolitical activities with us right here on Prophecy Today. Stay warm there in Europe, my good friend. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks so much, David. God bless.